Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about wrestling in prayer. Our talks for the last few times have been on the subject of prayer, and I guess I've said a good deal about how difficult it is. That's my experience, and I hope that I haven't belabored the point to those of you who have not found it nearly as difficult as I. But I suspect that there are a good many of you out there who find it hard work as I do. It's irksome. It's something that we like to put off unless we feel some very desperate and immediate need. But praying for other people, praying for great world situations that we know we're not going to see any great change in by supper time tonight, that kind of prayer is very difficult, isn't it? I was praying this morning about the abortion issue and praying that there might be some justices who would overturn the Roe versus Wade decision. But that's not something that I expected to see happen before tomorrow morning. Prayer is hard work, not only because we don't always see the results, but because we certainly don't feel that we're very good at it, and there aren't any experts. And all of these reasons go back to the basic difficulty, which is that there is an enemy of our souls who is set against prayer, against our cooperation in any form with God. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. He really can't stand it. So he's going to do everything he can to make us quit. If you thought that prayer was all beautiful and spiritual, a pleasant pastime carried on in a sort of a rose and mauve haze of holiness, no wonder you were let down, or suspected that you must be doing it wrong. Nothing convinces me more of what a great distance lies between me and sainthood than my own difficulties with prayer. As I said to you the other day, I'd rather be talking about it on the radio or sitting at my desk preparing a talk on it than praying. Yet I do believe that when we pray because we will to do God's will, rather than because we feel religious, perhaps that's the time when God is most pleased, when our feelings do not cooperate, when there isn't anything that makes us feel desperately in need of prayer. We pray because we need to. We pray because we're told to pray. We pray because it is our Christian obligation to pray. It is the soul's honest struggle against the flesh. If you have any question about what it is that we're wrestling with when we wrestle in prayer, look with me at the 6th chapter of Ephesians. This is what it says: "For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world, and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power, and that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. Take your stand, then, with truth as your belt, integrity your breastplate, the gospel of peace firmly on your feet, salvation as your helmet, and in your hand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Above all, be sure you take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you." And we've mentioned a good many of those missiles, things such as, who do you think you are? Do you really think God's listening? You're not much good at this, are you? Those are burning missiles from the enemy. In all your petitions, Paul goes on, pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all Christ's men and women. And pray for me too, that I may be able to speak the message here boldly, to make known the secret of that gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak out about it, as is my plain and obvious duty. Pray, 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 Paul says 3 times in that passage. But I think it's enormously important that we remember that our fight is not against a physical enemy, but organizations and powers that are spiritual, the unseen power that controls this dark world, and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. What defense do we have against those spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil? We're given armor, which is described here in this 6th chapter of Ephesians. Truth as the belt, integrity as the breastplate, the gospel of peace on our feet, salvation as our helmet, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And above all, be sure you take faith as your shield. The simplest explanation of faith that I have is believing that God means what He says. If you read what God says and believe that He means what He says, then faith takes its effect in action. Faith proves itself in action. You proceed on the basis of what God has said. He's not talking into a vacuum. He's talking by His Holy Spirit to you and me. But some of us feel so sinful as soon as we get down to pray. Our sins come up as great barriers between us and God. Well, here's an answer to that. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I have swept away your sins like a dissolving mist, and your transgressions are dispersed like clouds. Maybe somebody says, but I'm so tired. I just can't pray because I'm too tired. Isaiah again, chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. He gives vigor to the weary, new strength to the exhausted. Young men may grow weary and faint, even in their prime they may stumble and fall. But those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and never grow faint. Sometimes we'd like to mount up with wings like eagles or run and not be weary, but what God wants us to do is walk, maybe sometimes to plod, and maybe in His mercy, sometimes He just wants us to shuffle. You know that story about the old man that was asked the secret of his old age, his long life? And he said, well, when I walks, I shuffles. When I sits, I sets loose. And when I worries, I just goes to sleep. Just remember that the Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the wide world, grows neither weary nor faint, and yet He's ready to give vigor to us who are weary. There are mighty energies which are ready to come to our rescue. Somebody has said, pray when you feel like praying. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Pray until you do feel like praying. Sometimes that takes a long time, pray till you do feel like praying, but sometimes to one's surprise, we find that when we actually start doing something, it's not nearly as hard as we thought it was going to be when we were resisting the job. I find that to be true when I have an assignment on my desk that's the last thing in the world that I feel like doing. I take myself by the scruff of the neck, I start doing it because it's the next thing, and lo and behold, I find myself enjoying it. I didn't mean to, I didn't want to, I didn't intend to enjoy it, but lo and behold, it happens. Don't be surprised if prayer becomes a wrestling match. Stick with it.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.